You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following program was recorded at an earlier date. Know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Good morning. This is Karen Hubbard. We are not in the studio this morning, and today I'll be replaying an interview I did with a dear, wonderful, beautiful woman of God, evangelist Brenda Blunson. Brenda went home to be with the Lord on January 3rd, just a few short weeks ago, and I'm thankful that I had this opportunity to do the interview with her, and today's program is dedicated to her memory. We'll be back live next week. And good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. This is Karen Hubbard. I'm your host. Just want to let you know that Psalm 20, verse 4 says, "May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed." From an early age, my guest, evangelist Brenda Blunston, had a deep desire to know God, to know his word, and to fight for and to protect people being mistreated. We'll hear her story of how the Lord raised her up to become a prayer warrior and evangelist, and how that training has enabled her to succeed in the battlefield of life. But first, I want to welcome back my friend and co-host and a prayer warrior herself, Deanne. Good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Thank you so much for having me back.
Thank you for coming back. And we have one of our prayer warriors, Brenda, joining us this morning. And we're just really looking forward to hearing your story, Brenda. And, you know, it's really an honor to have you here. And, you know, I wanted to say that when I met Brenda a couple of years ago, she's the kind of woman that, or person, when she walks into the room, you know that she's been with the Lord.
Yes.
And you know that you're going to get a word, and you know that God is going to confirm something that he has already spoken to you. And it's just a real blessing to have you here. So good morning, Brenda.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Amen. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Amen. Amen. Because we want to hear about your story and, you know, what God has done in your life. Because it's really, you know, in the hidden place where God has taught you and trained you and brought you up for such a time as this. Now, who is this lovely lady with you?
I brought my granddaughter with me this morning, Najira. She decided to accompany me, and I'm so glad. I'm so glad. So this is Najira, my granddaughter.
Welcome, Najira. Good to see you this morning.
Same to you.
Good. And I understand that you have 11 grandkids?
11 grandkids, yes.
And a couple of great grands and one on the way.
Yes, and one on the way. A couple of great grands and one on the way. Yes.
So with Mother's Day coming up, you might be a little bit busy.
I think I'll be a little busy. Yes, yes. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, amazing. And, you know, you come from a big family yourself. You're the 9th of 11 children.
Yes, I am. I am the 9th of 11 children. And along with me, I have a twin sister. So I beat her out by 2 minutes. I arrived 2 minutes before her. So I'm the oldest.
There you go. All right, let's get started. So, you know, from a young age, you had a real desire to know the Word of God, but your mom told you that you were too young to be part of a Bible study that was held in your home, and that was not enough to stop you from getting out that big family Bible and open it up. So I want to hear what happened there.
Yes. You know, years ago, they would come to your home and do Bible study with you. And after you completed the weeks of Bible study, then you would earn that Bible. They would give you a Bible to keep your very own Bible. And my older sister, my mother wanted her to take the class, have them to come, but she wasn't real interested in doing it so much, but I wanted to do it, and I said, Mom, can't do it. She said, no, you're too young, you can't do it. So I said, oh. So what I would do is when they would come and they would give her the classes, I would just sit back in the corner, and I would just listen and suck all of that in while she was doing the class, even though my mom said I couldn't participate, but I just sat back in the corner and sucked it all in right there. Yes, so that I said, I'll get it in that way since she says I can't do it.
Yeah, because there's nothing like telling us we can't do something.
We'll
just go ahead right out there and do it.
Yes. But I had that hunger and desire. I wanted to know more of the Word of God.
Do you think it was because they came, or did your family go to church regularly?
Yes, they went to church regularly. They all would always take us to church. We would always go to service, so we always did. But I just wanted to know more. I assume it probably came from Sunday school, maybe, and things like that, and just hearing the Word. But yes.
So you're saying that when you were in elementary school, of course, this was when this was all taking place, the Bible study. And so what happened to you that one day you're outside playing?
So I was outside playing one day, and yes, I was in elementary school. And all of a sudden, we lived on top of a hill. And so we would always, the kids would always go skate all the way down to the bottom of the hill or ride your bike, which, because when you get on that incline, it would take you fast down, you know, so you always get to the end. And all of a sudden, just one day, I stopped. Something just said, stop and go in and read your Bible. And I stopped in the middle of playing. I ran into the house, ran right into the living room because we kept our family Bible right on the table. And I picked it up and I began to read. And I turned to the section where they had taken Jesus and they were going to crucify him. And I read that part of where they led him in and where they crucified him. And when I got to that part where they had crucified him and nailed him to the cross, I closed my Bible and I went to my bedroom and I closed the door and I just wept and I cried. And I just said, why did they do that to him? He hadn't done anything to anybody, so why would they do that to him? I hadn't quite understood that he was supposed to do that. That's what he was here on earth to do for us. I just was like, here they are, this person that they, why would they do that to him? And I wept and I cried. So, and after I cried, I got up, I wiped my face, my tears, and I ran back outside and started playing again. But I just was so deep in my heart of the hurt, the whipping, the beating, the putting the crown on his head with the thorns and just all that they had done to him, it just made an impact on me.
I would say that the Lord probably visited you that very moment to reveal himself to you, and not unlike others of us, the same thing as he did with Deanne. You know, we had she had shared her testimony a couple of weeks ago, and myself too. So then, now, did you follow the Lord from that time, or?
From that time on, because as I said, I was in elementary, but later when I got into middle school and towards my high school years, I went to church, and then I felt a call to go for it, even though we had been going to church all this time. Every Sunday, we go to church every Sunday. My mom said, get up, be ready. By this time, we're leaving, and you better be ready. And so we would get up, get ready, and go to service. We had it. But at that time, I felt like when they gave that call to come up to receive the Lord, I went up. I felt that call to go, and I went up, and I felt like such joy. It was like a newness had come over me. I was just like, wow, and just so excited and happy to just that I had given my life to the Lord. You know, I felt like right then I was just like, oh, I want to know more. I need more. I just a hunger, just a hunger for Him.
And then were you able to get into like a discipleship class, or did they have those back then?
They had those back then, but not as readily as they do today. You would basically more so be going to Sunday school a lot and getting what you needed. And then after you, whatever age you were, then you would transition into regular service and receive. So were they more have you probably someone seeking more to get you to come out and do covenant classes and so forth? They didn't have that. So I didn't have anyone to really feed me, if you will, to get that word in and just have that feeding going to nourish that hunger that was there. And so it kind of, if you will, went to sleep, you know, because when you don't have that constant word coming in, it goes to sleep on you. Anything you don't practice, if it dies or goes to sleep. And so that time frame came in there for me of I didn't get that nourishment, so it didn't mature as it needed to at that point.
And I can identify with that as well, you know, and having that, you know, you have that fire and then somebody readily comes to put it out. You know, but you don't know what you don't know. You know, just really desire the church to really come alongside new believers and hold their hand and draw them in. You know, I remember, not to take away from your story, but I remember myself that they said, okay, now that you're saved, you got to read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. But nobody said how to do it, what I was supposed to do. No one said anything about developing a relationship with Jesus, you know. So I just, I became very religious and,
yes,
you know, just followed. Somebody said, do this. So I did that. But there was just no fire, no passion with it at all.
No. And then what they would do too, the way they would do it, and as you said, they don't know, they just don't know. You would be, they would put you in missionary class, or you get in the choir, or you know, or any a lot of works,
and almost like a babysitting. Yes. They put you over there to babysit rather than to teach
it and nourish you. So you go into a lot of, you become an usher and all these things, and I guess with the back then, in hopes that whatever was in you would grow, but you need that teaching.
That's right. So all right, we're gonna go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to hear about how you realized that you were called to be an intercessor. We'll be back in a minute.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world.
God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Amen. And that, of course, is Twyla Paris with that song, The Warrior is a Child. Boy, and that's, I remember when I heard that for the first time years ago when the Lord was calling me into prayer. Yes. And I know that you enjoy that song as well. Yes. So, you know, you had written in your bio here that you always had a desire to protect people or fight for them, those that were being mistreated or taken advantage of. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yes, yes. That desire was always in me to always fight for anyone who was. I didn't have to know you to do it. If I was just walking by or passing or in your midst and someone was taking advantage, I would feel the need to fight for you, to stand up for you because you weren't evidently able to do it for yourself. And I remember when I was in school, and of course there were bullies along the way, and when you're in school, and there was this one bully, he would take advantage of this girl all the time. And I just, well, I'm like, why doesn't she won't fight for herself? Why? So he was taking advantage of her one day, and I just stood up for her, and I said, no, you're not gonna do that. You're not gonna take advantage of her anymore. But so that the desire always was in me to fight for anyone, and it didn't matter what age you were. It didn't matter. That desire was always there. And so finally I came to a realization that that what God had placed in me, it was from Him to fight for people, but it was to be a spiritual thing and not a natural thing, as I was always ready to put the dukes up to fight for people.
That's right. And, you know, and I think it's really important that, like, as your story continues on, how, you know, maybe you're someone who you really don't know what God has called you to in life. But when you look back and see the things, like with Brenda, you know, she always had a passion for the Word. And soon we'll hear about your desire to walk with God in the cool of the day. And then also to fight in prayer, you know, on behalf of others. You know, that God has instilled that in you. But if you're someone who you're still trying to figure out what your giftings are, you know, take a look and see the things that really bother you. You know, maybe you're someone that, you know, when you see the homeless or you see people that are sick, you know, that you just, it's like an anger rises up in you. That is the passion of the Lord and the compassion for that particular area. And the Lord would use you to pray on behalf of others in that, some of those different areas.
Yes. Yes. I would spend time praying for many. I remember once there was a lady at work and she was going through, and I the compassion was there so for her for the fight that she was going in. And I just said, Lord, as I pray for her that night, I said, God, let her feel that I'm praying for her, that she's not alone, that, you know, that there's someone here with her to help her through this battle that she's going. And when I arrived to work the next day, she met me and she said, I asked her, how was she doing? Yeah, how was your night and stuff? She said, okay. I said, well, I was praying for you. She said, I knew I could feel your prayers. Mm-hmm. She said, you know, I know that you were praying for me. I knew it. I could feel that you were praying for me. And so God just placed that in me to just intercede, because our enemy really is, as he says, we don't fight with flesh and blood. It's not the flesh and blood that we're fighting against, but it's just the spiritual enemy that we're fighting. That's where our warfare really is. It's not with these carnal weapons and so forth that we need to do our battle with, but it's our battle in the spirit. It's where you really can you duke him out there.
That's right. Because the battle's already won.
Because the battle's already yes, it is won. It is won. So we're victorious in him. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. So did you have any formal type of training for prayer and intercession?
Well, what I did was as he went on, and through this time, he has been a lot my teacher. The Holy Ghost is when I remember him coming even after accepting the Lord, as I said, as a teenager, and then backing off. And then the Lord sent, it was actually my twin sister's husband's aunt. I met her one day, going with my sister over to her house to whatever she had gone over there for. And so I came into contact with her. She said, well, do you all want to accept the Lord as your Savior? Because we were young adults and stuff. We were like, I know. You know, you're going on about your worldly dudes that you're doing. And so she said, I'm going to pray for you. So I said, oh, okay. So time when she went and she began to intercede, her and her, she had a prayer group, and they interceded for us, not knowing that they were. And we're just going about. And so again, one other time, again, went over to her house, and she asked about, I'm praying for you. Are you ready to accept the Lord now? And so finally I went over and I accepted him again as my Savior at that time. And he drew in. And at that point, that's where he began to train me, as we began to have prayer. We would have on Friday nights or some nights through the week, we would go over and she would say, she told me, she said, now, what you need to do is you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You need to pray in tongues. You need to pray in the spirit. And so we're going to believe for you. So she said, when you're, we did it at her house. She said, okay, even though you didn't get it out, when you get home by yourself, you spend time and you go in and he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. So I went, and of course I was like, I read every book I could. I found all the books I could get and speaking in tongues, you know, how do you do this? How do you do this? Because they were doing, how do you do this? And every book I read, I was just like, okay, this is telling me nothing. You're telling me you have it. I get all of that. Everybody's saying the same thing. But you're not telling me you're looking for step by step by step. Mm-hmm. But there is no step by step by step. And so as I got down one night and I said, God, you know, I've read every book. I've done it all. I just don't know. So I began to just, and it was a cold winter's night. It was so cold. And outside, and I had placed my children. I had my children then. I have four children. And so I put them to bed. And I went in, and I went in that time for this to be in the Lord's presence. And I got down, and I began to say, you know, begin to thank him. I just began to lose myself in him. Didn't even know that I had, but I began to really thank him. Father, because I had seen homeless people out, and I was thinking about how cold it was. They had nowhere to go. And I said, God, I thank you that my children have a roof over their head. They're warm in their beds. They have food. You know, God, I just thank you for how you've sheltered us. And as I began to really thank him for the things that he had done for me, had done for my family, thanksgiving to him, the tongues just rose up, as he said, rivers of living water just flowed up. And I began to just pray in the Holy Ghost, and I was like, oh God. And of course, you know, your first thing your mind tells you is like, now, is that God? Because you what is that sound? What? Because the first thing I said, oh, what is that sound? You know, what is that? And of course, your flesh tells you that. And I said, well, one thing about it, it's nothing we've ever done before. So it must be God, because there's no other way. I've never done. So I began to go forth in it. And she began to have us come over. As I said, we go over to her house, and we get down. She said, we're going to pray. We're going to pray in the spirit, pray for an hour. And we just get down and pray for an hour in the spirit, just pray. And then we listen to the Lord. And so that training to begin to allow God and the Holy Ghost to begin to teach me, and then to open the Word. We'd open the Word and begin to get feeding from the Word. So he began to train me then. And then as we would pray, we would begin to pray. And she said, we're going to start going out and ministering in the neighborhood. And so we pray for an hour in the Holy Ghost. And then after we listen to the Lord, then we go out and we minister to people. So interceding for those people that we didn't even know before we got there. So it was training me right then to intercede for others before you even know what you're coming in contact with. Mm. So I got training there, starting right there. That was the initial.
Amen. The best form of training.
Wow. Yeah. As they say, prayer is not taught. It is caught. You got to get around the praying people, and it just, you catch it.
Sure.
That's exactly right.
Yes, because those were, when I tell you, prayer warriors, they were older women, and they knew what the areas to go into or what to do. And just listening to them intercede and to know how to go forth after that, it just really trained me a lot. And then we went to classes, a couple of classes after that. You know, they find classes where they were training you to do this or that, and we would go and take them. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just, you know, breaks your heart, because that's what the heart of God is. You know, when Jesus would withdraw and go to be with the Father by himself, you know, he would just up and leave and go to just be with the Lord, because there was a purpose in it. And, you know, he probably didn't spend his time at the coffee shop, you know, chit-chatting with friends or browsing the internet. You know, he was in prayer with the Father to see what the next thing was that the Lord wanted him to do. Yes. And for me, that's a perfect example there, is spending that time in prayer and asking the Lord, you know, what to pray, and then following up with action by going out, you know, wherever he leads.
Yes. And we need that time with him. We need that time. So that took me there. And always give me a hunger to pray. Hunger.
And doesn't it, the more that you do it, the more you want to. And the more you want to be with folks that are praying. And I know my own life, I didn't have that. I didn't have people around me, to my knowledge, that were praying. So when the Lord began to draw me in, I felt like I was out there by myself. Mm-hmm. Or in there by myself in the prayer closet, which I was. But he's very faithful. So let's go to another break, and then we'll come back, because we want to talk about what happened with you. Oh, and actually your desire to walk with God in the cool of the day. You want to hear about that? So we'll be back in a couple of minutes. All right. warrior is a child deep inside that armor. Amen.
Amen, amen, yes. That is one of my favorite songs, The Warrior's a Child. You know, sometimes people tell you that you're strong in the Lord, or they see the glory of the Lord on you and so forth. And this song, I remember when it came out, I was just like, oh, that's right for me. Because it said there are many times that the enemy lays us at his feet. You know, we get where we're just like, oh, you feel defeated or so forth. But I just drop my sword and it says, look up for a smile. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's where the Father is. And I've always had the desire to, as the word says, I remember reading in the word where it says, God will walk with Adam and in the cool of the day, you know, he would go and he would talk to him. And I always had that desire. I said, Lord, all I want to do is just walk with you in the cool of the day. If you say, go left, I'll go left. You say, go right, I'll go right. You say, stop, I'll stop. Whatever, but I want all of my time, all of my attention with you, because I will find my peace there. I will find my joy there, my strength there. Everything is there. And so when I come out, I'm able to go through the battles that we need to, or the test that we need to. They would enable me and give me the strength to go through, going through many, many, many different tests in my life. Just Him keeping me through many times and just praying. There may be many that I feel to share with you, because there may be somebody listening who you may feel in your mind that things are so heavy or so much. I can remember once going through a situation, and I was sitting on my back porch, and I was just like, and again, I had my children inside, had placed in the bed, and I always, after I place my children to sleep or to bed, then I take that moment because it's quiet, and I'd always stay up late. They wake up in the night and say, you still up? Yeah. Why? That's my time to be with Him always and to listen to Him. But I sat on the back porch because the pressures and the stress of things were really trying to overwhelm me. And I remember I sat then, I read His word, and the word was saying that, you know, if I had wings like a bird, I would fly away. You know, if I could fly away out of it. And at that moment, it was like my mind just left me, just went. But in an instant, He brought me right back. And I was like, God, I see how people just in an instant lose their mind. People say they just lost their mind and it's just snapped, and because it's so great on you. But when you're with Him, when you're spending time in prayer, when you know Him, when you begin to seek Him, He keeps you in perfect peace. He keeps you in your mind. So where those pressures try to come in and overtake you, they cannot, because right there He says, no, you cannot have her mind. And instantly I came back and I was just like, wow, just gone for a moment, just completely gone. But He brought me back. So walking with Him in the cool of the day, because you know, the Father always comes looking for us. He always comes looking for us. He finds us. And so that point was a point that I said, thank you, God. Thank you for all the different pressures that had come. So it's always a blessing to be with Him, to get in His word. It's good to, as the word says, not to forsake yourself, to be with the body. We need, because we grow from being with the body. I get my strength from hearing others' testimonies. I get my strength from hearing songs that have encouraged others. I get my strength from hearing the word that others have brought that have blessed them. And so even with that, it's even more important to not to be with Him. He wants that one-on-one relationship with us. It's so important that we have that intimate relationship with Him. He wants us as a group, as children, and then He wants us also by ourselves with him. And even in going into that, it prepared me for a time when I would come to a place where I would be told that I had cancer. And so when that day came, I went to the doctor, and they had, of course, you have your test, and going in for a situation that was showing up. And so she said, okay, we're going to do some tests. And we went in to go, do the test. And then a couple of weeks, she called me back and she said, come in. I said, okay. I went in. And so she said, are you by yourself? And I said, yes. And she said, well, why'd you come by yourself? I said, well, you didn't tell me to bring nobody. So, of course, I'm here by myself. And so she said, well, sit down. So now we're not in the regular examining room. We're in her office. And so she said, well, sit down. I have news for you. So she began to tell me, she said, well, your test came back and it showed that you have cancer. And I said, okay, well, when she said it to me, I sat there and I was just like, I wasn't numb or anything. I said to the Holy Ghost, I said, how am I supposed to feel about this? Is this something? You know, I don't know. How am I supposed to, what am I supposed to think here? What am I supposed to do? She looking for something from me? I don't know. Okay, that's what you say. So she said, okay. And so she said, well, how are you? I said, I'm okay. I'm all right. And so she said, okay. So she said, well, I'm going to set you up, because she set me up with a beautiful doctor to handle everything. The doctors were just amazing. And so she said, I'm prepared for that. And they immediately began to do everything right then. So as I was going out of her office, I got to the parking lot because they had ordered some testing thing for me. And as I was going out, even before I could get to my car, she was calling me back. We're going to do a test right now. Come back in. So, but on my way going out, I began to feel laughter come up in me. Just a laughter. It's just like, okay, all right, okay. But, you know, even in that point, in that moment, If we have a choice of what we do, are we going to yield to the Spirit of God, or are we going to yield to our flesh? My flesh will want me to cry about it, whine about it, say it's over, you know, how is this or whatever. But my spirit man over here is saying, rejoice, be glad, you know, happy, you know, don't fall into that. And so there's a choice that we have to make. And God is still, he's always yet with us. As I went back to go do the test that they wanted me to come back and do right away, I sat in the office. And you know, when we're going through things, God will take, even when you're in the midst of something, he'll cause you to have to minister to somebody else. And you'll be like, well, Lord, this is about me right now, ain't it? Oh, what's up with me? Okay, but you hear it, it's a need over here. Okay, just, I'm going to need to push all of that all the way back. What? And so I sent in someone text me, and she was in despair and going through. And as the Holy Ghost allowed me to minister to her and text back to her, the very thing that that I was texting back to her was meat for me.
Yes.
Meat for me. Don't go by what you see. Don't go by what you hear. You've got to walk in the word. You've got to stay there. Place all your focus there, no matter what it says. Continue to confess the word through it all. And so even through my whole test, God will give you, for me, he would always just give me, in the trials and tests I go through, he'd give me one word. One word, and I'd have to hold to that one word the whole time. And so the one where he says, declare you healed. Declare you healed. And so in the midst of all, nothing else. I say, okay. Even in, I went and got songs and music and prayer and all of that. But still that one word is what I had to decree and declare over myself. No matter what the doctors were saying, I had to say, he said I'm healed. And so, yes, I went through the surgery and had the surgery of it all. And even in the midst of having the surgery, I remember when I came out of surgery, and they have you to, it's like almost like a choking thing that you do, because they have you, you have to kind of bring yourself back. And I was just like, and they were there standing. I was just like, Lord, well, I can't seem to get my breath that keeps filling back up in me. Just, what is this, Lord? And I begin to say, Jesus, help me, you know, and all the nurses, I was in a blur, and I knew they were around because I could hear them. And all of a sudden, all of that subsided, and I just said, thank you, Jesus. And I remember I passed right back out. But when I got to my room, the nurses that he gave me, even the person who would come to draw the blood, he would say, God has brought you through this. You're healed. You won't face this ever again. Mm-hmm. He knew me not.
Wow.
Didn't know me. Wow. Didn't know me at all. But he was declaring over me. He said, I know that he sent me here to be the one to draw your blood, because they couldn't have seen, the vein was so hard to find because they were deep down. And so he came back a couple of times, but when he came, he said, you're healed, and declared from here forth.
Praise God.
People, God, he'll place them. From spending with that time with him, he'll do it. He'll do it. So through that test, he brought me through that, and I said, okay. And even after that, of course, they wanted to do chemo, and they wanted to do radiation and all of that. And I said, you know, I know you have to tell me what you have to tell me. I get that. But I have to tell you what I believe and who I am. He says that I'm healed. So I'm not going to do your chemo. I'm not going to do your radiation. I'm going to stand on the word of God, of what he said. And so that time of knowing that he's, and then even on a prayer line that I get on in the morning, and there's another person on talking about their situation with and cancer, same thing. And then I begin to tell about mine, but the person that he had, one of the prayer warriors on there said, God says, you're different. You don't compare yourself to what anybody else has done or what they're going through. You don't walk that way. Yours is different. And so once we stay with him and walk like he's called us, I learned to not look myself to be what someone else is.
It's the hardest lesson to learn. So we can talk about that some more after the break.
What happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Yes, we're back. So, Brenda, just continue on with, you know, I know you went through a couple of other trials. Yeah. Well, more than a couple. You know, maybe one more that you'd like to share about.
Yes. And I just want to encourage the people that, again, don't pattern yourself after someone else. Seek him for who he has made you to be. Glory to God. We take the meat of what someone else is, or how their life has been, or even their teaching ministry, if you will. But take that and say, God, okay, how do you want to use me? because I can't go into the same arena that you go in. I don't know the same people up there. So I have to take the weapons and the armor that he has placed in me and use it. Glory to God. I mean, even this morning he reminded me, because I was asking him about what he had placed within me, and just got even a more understanding of that, that's what I put in you. I didn't put that in this person or that one, but that's what I put in you. So you have to walk in that. And so knowing what he's placed in us. So even in that, another testing that we're going through, and we know all that COVID has come to our arena, if you will. And my husband and I had both gotten COVID. And when we got COVID, my husband, it was really so intense for him. He had to be hospitalized with it. And that was truly, truly a testing going. And when I got it, we got it at the same time, really, and I was able to stay at home and to contact the doctors over phone and just sit in the sunshine and soak up that sun and take the vitamins and take all these things and overcome it. Was it an easy overcome? No, because there were times and battling through that. I mean, it was so intense, you know, of course, hence having to call the doctors to say, okay, is this hospital time now? What is this time now? Do I need to do? And so, but focusing more on my husband, because I would see him, they wouldn't even let you come to the hospital to be with your loved ones. And so I had to stay in prayer for him, stay in prayer for myself, staying in prayer. And here it was, when I would see him there, I would FaceTime him. But when I would see this person, I didn't know this person. Mm-hmm. I didn't know him. It wasn't speaking clear, didn't look clear. None of that, that had overtaken. I was just like, Lord, and began to cry out to the Lord concerning the matter, concerning for the both of us, and me at home. You can't have anybody come to your home because you don't want them mm-hmm. to get COVID. So my children and so forth couldn't come and say, okay, we could come and take care of you and all of that. I had to do all of those things myself. And so, again, and looking at him, then it got to the hospital. They were saying, you know, you can't bring anything. You can't bring anything to him or whatever, because they don't want you bring anything to me because you had COVID, so they don't want to bring anything. Mm. But the Lord said to me, I said, God, here's my husband. Is he coming out of this or whatever? And I remember the Lord finally, because he was in there for almost a whole month. We went through that. I remember he went through it was right after Thanksgiving. And then it went right down to right before Christmas, the next month, right before the Christmas, right before the New Year, actually right before the New Year coming in, that he was able to finally come home. And I said, God, you know, am I going to see my husband again? You know, what's going on? And so he told me, he said, begin to prepare for him to come home.
Amen.
Was he looking like he was going to come home? Not at all. Even the nurses would call me up and say, can you talk to him? Can you help us? Can you, for whatever I could talk to him to get him to try and do or to bring him through, you know, they were even calling. And I would call and say, okay, can you give the phone to him? Just trying to be there to he could hear my voice. But the Lord said, prepare, begin to act like he's coming home. Yes. So we have to, as the word says, we have to begin to call those things that are not as though they were. Mm-hmm. I had to begin to speak that he would come home. Prepare, begin to make the bed like he had arrived, you know, begin to open things up. So when he did arrive, everything would be set. But I had to stay there with that one thing that he said, begin to prepare for him to come home.
Yes.
And there was nothing else he gave me. You have to hold to that. And so did the enemy come and try to make me think anything else? Of course, he wants to make you think the worst, that, you know, that won't be, and you just be by yourself and, you know, all of these things. But no, I had to hold to the word of God and spending that time with him and the Holy Ghost ministering and letting me know it's going to be just as I've said.
Amen.
Praise God.
So, Dan, you had a scripture during the break there that
yes,
seems
Brenda,
very appropriate.
Yes, amen. As Brenda was sharing, I'm just thinking how, you know, those trials and tribulations come. And if we turn and surrender and seek the Lord, he will use it for his divine purpose. And 1 Peter 1:6-7, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And that's what God does through those times. I know my hardest times, the deepest, darkest, like, God, how in the world are you going to do this? Those times were the deepest, most intimate growth times, that you just grow in leaps and bounds as you resist, refuse, reject those voices of the enemy, what you see, what you're told, and you just, right, submit to God in his word and his truth. And it is such a, it's leaps and bounds that you just advance. You go deeper, you go higher, and we can look back and say, it sounds crazy to people, but you can look back and say, thank you, God, that I went through that, because I wouldn't be who I am today, and I wouldn't be where I am today.
Amen. In those trials, you know, just prepare us for more trials, mm-hmm. which is all the working of our faith. Amen. And it, you know, I think at some point in time we get to a place where we will welcome whatever comes from the hand of God. You know, not everything that is terrible is from the enemy. The Lord uses every situation and every circumstance to form us and try to get us into that place that he wants us. And when we just will surrender and give in, you know, it kind of helps along the road there.
Yes.
And that's really what he wants, is just to conform us into the image of Christ.
Amen. Amen. I agree. And I thank him that even in training, even still too, going in a prayer group that I had joined, it brought me strength in a testing even there, because it allowed you to be with others with like faith, if you will, who are praying
yes.
just like you. And so that caused me to, even as I'm praying and then becoming a prayer leader even on there, it caused me, even though I was going through things, again, praying for somebody else and not just focusing on my own self, you know. So it caused me to begin to do that. So as I said, he'll have you when you're going through tests. He'll say, don't focus on that. Pray for someone else. And he, as that does come, deliverance comes for you.
Yes.
And so there, and being a part, joined with those prayer warriors, increased me.
And, you know, and that's something important. You know, we have one lady that comes to our prayer meeting, and she wasn't able to come for the last couple of weeks with some issues going on. And I know that she comes because God encourages her through this trial that she's going through. And it's just really important to be with praying people. If you have a praying mother, a praying grandmother, just be grateful and thankful, and, you know, just receive their prayers, because it all starts and ends with prayer.
Yes, it all starts and ends. And so I'm so grateful to him that he loves us. He loves us so, and that he constantly reveals his love to us. You know, even if we hear the birds sing, we see the flowers, all of these things that just shows his love for us, his kindness to us, his heart for us. I was reading in the Word the other day when it said that God's heart is towards us. The things that when we can move his heart, he has a heart for us. We can even move the heart of God to change a situation, change things. And so, you know, as we spend that time with him, his heart delights in us. And he says, okay, I'm gonna do this for you. I'll change this for you. And many times he has done that for me. And so and with that, I turn around and I said, okay, God, what do you need? I'm your girl.
You know? Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we've just got maybe about a minute left. And just want to thank you, Brenda, for coming by and sharing your story. And again, every time Brenda walks in the room, I know I'm going to hear from the Lord.
Yes.
I'm going to hear a confirmation. I'm going to hear a good word. I'm going to hear a word of encouragement because I know that you've been spending that time with the Lord and always have something good. And like you said, the Lord is, he's always looking for us.
He's looking
in the cool of the day.
Yes. Amen.
And, you know, in this hour, the Lord's calling us to himself. And, you know, just encourage you to get into prayer yourself. You know, maybe you don't have much of a prayer life, but, I mean, that's where you're going to find him. That's where you're going to encounter him. That's where he's going to answer all your questions. And, you know, when you go looking to others for answers, you're going to get opinions more than answers. But when you go to God, he's going to give you answers. Get in the Word, stay in the Word, and don't forsake the assembling
Amen.
Of yourself with others.
Amen.
Amen.
So we've just got a couple of seconds left, and we just want to thank you again, Brenda, for coming. Thanks, Deanne, for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you, Najira.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The one who loves to talk a lot. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
All right. God bless everyone, and we will see you next Friday.
People say